This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hub Arkush is on Twitter at Hub_Arkush. He is ready to take your phone calls as he joins us on The Score. You all set, Hub?
I am set. I think that Chiefs-Rams was that color burst thing, but you're right. It was a good combo.
Yeah, color rush. Like the Super Bowl when it was Chiefs and Vikings. Like sometimes there is just an aesthetic quality to the war games out there in a field that kind of grabbed me. We will start you, Hub, with Garrett in Lafayette, Indiana on Sports Radio 670. He's yours, Garrett. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. My question is, in your opinion, why do you think Jacksonville's defense absolutely just sunk this year versus being the number one defense last year in respects with worrying a little bit about the Bears maybe regressing with their defense next year?
Well, I think a lot of it, Garrett, and obviously each year is different. I can't promise you anything with the Bears. But what we found out with that Jacksonville group is that that was not the best locker room in the world. They had a couple guys who maybe weren't as happy to be there as they should have been. You had Jalen Ramsey, who really needed to shut his mouth early and instead kept talking, quite a bit longer than they would have liked. They ended up, releasing a couple players in season. They made the trade on Dante Fowler. Now, at that point, they felt that maybe, he was going to be gone anyway due to free agency, but he had never really played up to what they had hoped. So there was a lot more going on there. I think that, when you look at the individual players, certainly they had the same level of talent that the Bears have had this year. But I think the difference is that they weren't quite as young and the culture just wasn't as good as the Bears culture has been, at least to this point, with what Matt Nagy has put together for them.
Next up, is this Sigfrido in Janesville?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, I had a question here. I was curious as to, well, a couple things. I saw that Brian Urlacher and Dick Butkus were very awkward and uncomfortable when they were on the field waving their towels, hearing that siren. I could just see that there was just confusion on Brian Urlacher's face. But my question really is, how much do you think that contributed to, the Bear Raid sirens, how much do you think that contributed to the errors that the defense had on the field with the 10 men on the field on that touchdown pass and the 12 men on the field? I mean, did that contribute at all in your opinion?
What?
No. I did not. I mean, I actually wasn't expecting to see Butkus and Urlacher, and I thought they looked great.
Yeah, I didn't too.
Notice any uncomfortableness at all. The Bears made a couple of uncharacteristic mental errors on defense, but I don't think it had anything to do with the silence.
I will say that you did see Butkus towel whip his own hat off.
He did.
Yeah.
He kind of looked at it.
I don't think that the... Listen, I'm not a fan of the siren. I would like it to be gone, but I don't think it had anything to do with the outcome of the playing of the game.
It is now time for Frank in Oak Park with Hub on The Score.
Hub, of the three quarterbacks taken high in the 2017 draft, two saw their teams eliminated in the wild card round this past weekend. Given the mixed results of first-round quarterbacks through history, having to actually get teams into the playoffs in the third, Mahomes surprisingly earning a first-round bye this early is a kind of coup seen perhaps once a generation. The popular narrative is that the two QBs now heading towards the links. The Bears' Trubisky is the guy trailing in development. He only is consistent in his first read, and when he gets amped, he airmails throws over the middle, resulting in dangerous picks. By contrast, the Texans' Deshaun Watson is seen as much more of a finished product. Any problems with his game being more the result of the shabby group of blockers trying to keep him upright. But in a recent NFL Live broadcast, ex-QB Tim Hasselbeck looked to change the narrative. He had video of the Texans' playoff loss to the Colts. In it, Hasselbeck showed Watson misreading several basic 101 grade zone blitzes involving phoning linebacker moves up the gut, followed by a real red dog by the nickel corner. Watson played this like it was the first time he saw this and was dumped. Hasselbeck implied many of the 62 sacks suffered by Watson were on him, not his line. Hub, the coaches and front office guys you talk to, what are they saying about the relative development progress of Trubisky and Watson?
Well, let me give you two answers, Frank. First, I'll give you a personal answer. I actually did two of the Texans games from the sidelines in the last 4 weeks. I had them against the Jets in New York, and then 3 weeks later, I was there last Saturday for the loss to the Colts. And Deshaun Watson was terribly disappointing. He clearly is holding the football too long, not reading the field very well, and gotten a little gun-shy. And I went so far, I think I said this on the air, I don't know if it was with you guys, when I got back from Houston, I think that right now, where they're at, I would take Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson. And if you go back to the night of the draft, we were live on the air, both prior to the pick and after the pick, I said that I thought Watson was the best of the three. I would take him ahead of Mahomes and Trubisky, and I really thought that still would be the case until I got a really good look at him the last few weeks. Now, in answer to your question, talking to people around the league, the majority agree with me. Watson has taken a step back. That Houston offensive line is awful, and it has slowed his development. And he appears to be pretty much exactly where he was, if not maybe even a step or two behind last year when he took over the starting job. So if it was today, I mean, you've obviously got to take Mahomes off this season, but I would take Trubisky over Watson with where they're at right now in terms of their development. And as I say, the majority of NFL people I'm talking to in the last couple of weeks have agreed with me.
We've got more coming your way with Hub Arca. She's on a little bit early today, but the phone lines remain open for you to throw a question his way. 312-644-6767. Bears, NFL, whatever it may be, he is here for you as we keep you up to date on everything going on in the NFL right here on Bernstein and McKnight. Middays, 9-1 on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
That's Hub's music, so you know Hub is here, and he's taking phone calls on all things football, and I was making fun of this guy earlier. Let's bring him in. Todd in Gardner. He is on The Score next with Hub. Hey, Todd. Todd, you there?
What's up, man?
Todd, you're up.
All right, we'll give him another try in a bit. We'll see if we can come back to him. Instead, this is going to be Adam on The Score. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. Hub, just wondering if you're hearing anything about Brian Flores, the Pats defensive play caller. I know the Sun Sentinel and the Herald had last week him as being the front runner for the Dolphins' job. Kind of been radio silence, though, for the past week. Just wondering if you're hearing anything new.
I'm sorry, guys. That cut out for a minute. I didn't catch the front part of the question.
He was asking about Brian Flores and his possibility of landing a job. I think he was talking about Miami specifically, but anything else, I imagine he's looking for your thoughts there.
Yeah, I don't think that Brian Flores wants the two remaining jobs. It's interesting, guys. The reason that Miami and Cincinnati are the two left is that they are two of, probably now that Cleveland's been fixed, the two most screwed up organizations in football. Tampa Bay is right there with them. But of course, they've got Bruce Arians now. And, you know, Flores is definitely a hot young candidate, is going to be a head coach, has just this his first year as the defensive coordinator in New England. So waiting a year won't be the worst thing in the world. And my suspicion is that he may even choose not to interview for those two jobs if, in fact, he's there.
And here is Todd and Gardner. Let's try it again. Todd, are you there?
I'm there. Sorry. Okay. In reference to your earlier news report, I guess I should change my name to Bob. I'm sorry. But anyways, hey, Hub. I'm going to quote our buddy Bob from Niles. As far as Freddie Kitchens, I don't know. I mean, I trust Dorsey, but my questions are, I feel really kind of icky going in here. It's a weird feeling, you know, being positive. 2007, they won 10 games, but our best player was Phil Dawson. Our quarterback was Derek Anderson, so I didn't have high hopes for the future. My question is, besides the obvious, Baker Mayfield looks to be good, and they had a really good draft. Should I be really honestly hoping and expecting potential playoffs, even division crown. And then the other thing, in typical Browns fashion, they have by far the most cap space and about the most underwhelming free agent class ever. Most of these guys I wouldn't want for free, but who are some potential targets in free agency? And if there is time, who are you hearing about defensive coordinator? And thanks again, as always, guys, and have a great day.
Thanks, Todd.
Well, you know, it really is strange because, as you know, I'm a big John Dorsey guy, and I have a lot of faith in what he decides and what he does. But it's not been disputed by anybody that McCarthy was the first choice, but was told that he wanted to keep Freddie Kitchens as offensive coordinator. And Mike, who, you know, as most wise veteran head coaches would do, said, I got to pick my own coaching staff. And I don't know if it was even anti-Freddie Kitchens so much as it wasn't his guy. And apparently Dorsey said, okay, then I'm not going to hire you. And they gave the job to Kitchens. Kitchens did a nice job with that offense. He did a really nice job with Baker Mayfield. But is he Mike McCarthy? No. I thought McCarthy would have been a much better choice. So that said, as far as the defense, we're going to hear all of the usual names because they went with the first-timer in Kitchens as opposed to the veteran in Mike McCarthy. They might be more likely to go with a veteran defensive coordinator, so I would keep an eye on the names of Steve Wilks, of Vance Joseph, certainly of Chuck Pagano, although I would say I don't know that Vance Joseph is really a top candidate anywhere but Cincinnati. The Bengals loved him. He had 1 year as a coordinator with the Dolphins and was pretty awful. That's why it was so puzzling that the Broncos hired him in the first place. So nothing, you know, hot that I'm hearing as far as coordinators, but the usual names out there.
Don in Austin, you're on Sports Radio 670 with Hub.
Hey, Hub. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I just had a question about the Trey Burton situation. I know the this Bears situation almost like beating a dead horse, but I remember the first Philly special play that was ran in New York with Tariq Cohen. He said he couldn't practice the play or couldn't run it because of, I guess, his mentality or his mental situation about handling the pressure of it, I guess. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, for this big game against his former team, all of a sudden a phantom, you know, groin injury comes up. You know, I mean, I wouldn't usually give credence to something like that, but how much truth do you think it is to him? Just, you know, I guess you can say nutting up in the moment.
Well, we have no reason to believe it's a phantom groin injury. I know that people have parsed this a lot of different ways, and. You know, there has been conversation about him suffering from some anxiety issues at times. But as I said yesterday, I really see no reason to change my opinion. Anybody who can handle the Philly special at the end of the first half in the Super Bowl, you know, could certainly handle playing a football game against the team that he wanted to play against. He talked about it all week long, you know, some of his best friends there. So, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't even fully understand why there was so much debate about this. And then talking it through yesterday with Connor and Dan, I understand that, you know, they listened to what he said and that he left the door open a little bit. But I just don't see it. I think the man had a groin injury, and I think it developed in a weird way. Now, was it a serious groin injury? Is it something that maybe other guys would have played through? That I really can't comment on, but I don't believe that it was psychosomatic or just something that, you know, he came up with because of an anxiety disorder, or even, you know, more concerningly, he just wasn't up to the moment.
To Oswego and Rick on the Score.
Hey, Hob. After the game, or during the game, you tweeted to kick the damn ball when the Bears were up by 5 with less than 10 minutes to go. And I'm just curious what you think the strategic sense is in going for 1 point instead of 2 points there.
Well, because it made it a 2 field goal game to tie as opposed to 2 field goals to lose the football game. The list says you go for 2 there. It was not as blatant a questionable decision as I think Matt made on some others, but I'm not a believer in going for 2 points and giving up points that could leave you in a negative situation to lose the game by a point, which in fact is exactly what happened. Now, if you think it through, had the Bears kicked the point and had it been a 6-point game, then the Eagles would have just gone for 1 instead of going for 2, which they had to do to try and make it a 7-point game. And if they'd hit the extra point, they'd have won by a point anyway. So I'm not suggesting that it cost the Bears the game. It probably didn't. But in that moment, I thought it made more sense to kick it, and I still think it did. I'm not a big fan of the two-point conversion unless it's absolutely necessary. I think whenever you do it to try and make up lost points, you just end up continually chasing points.
A little bit of news. The Denver Broncos have now finally made the hiring of Vic Fangio official with an official announcement from the team. That might clear the way for the Bears to go ahead and announce a coordinator hire if, in fact, they're already that far down the road. We don't know if they are. But Vic Fangio now officially has been named the head coach of the Denver Broncos. Our next caller for Hub is Chip in Burbank. Hi, Chip.
Hello, guys. Hey, Hub, of the eight remaining teams in the playoffs, is there anybody on those teams that the Bears should be really looking at as far as a defensive coordinator? And there was a question that I always wondered. On Monday when they were talking to Trey Burton, did anyone ever ask him if the game was played on Monday, would he have been able to play? In other words, was the groin injury serious enough to keep him out for a week? Thanks, guys.
You know, I was by Trey for his entire media session in the locker room Monday. That question was not asked, as I recall. I do know that he came to his locker from getting treatment. And so, again, there was an injury. He did get treatment. But I don't know what would have happened if he had needed one more day. As far as guys to watch this weekend, I mean, these are, theoretically, if not the eight of the 10 or 11 best in the league, so you want to keep an eye on all these coaching staffs. But the guy that interests me particularly is Chris Richard, who is the secondary and passing game coordinator coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, he had 3 years as a defensive coordinator in Seattle from 15 to 17 and did an outstanding job. They struggled a little bit in 17 with injuries, and people were really surprised when Pete Carroll let him go. But he had a top five defense in 15 and 16. The Cowboys could block him from interviewing. They have to let him interview for a head coaching job. They don't have to let him interview for a coordinator job. Whether they would or not, I don't know. It looks now, again, I don't think he is rumored in Miami, but I know a lot of people just don't want those two jobs, Miami, Cincinnati. Now, I don't know if he's one of them, having not been a head coach before. Sometimes you take the opportunity in front of you and think you can make it better. But if he's not serious about Miami, and if the Cowboys would allow him to interview for a coordinator job, which would be a promotion for him, he would be fascinating for me with the Bears. But I haven't heard from any of my sources that the Bears are thinking that. He's the guy I'd keep the closest eye on. Now, this is a real long shot, but if Matt Nagy has a name that none of us are thinking about, if he's got a guy from his coaching past or a guy he has a relationship with or a guy who he may be intrigued by, you can keep an eye on Al Harris, who is the cornerbacks coach with the Kansas City Chiefs. They were together in Kansas City the whole time that Matt was there. He is an up-and-comer. I don't know that he's ready to be a coordinator, but this is one where some of the people I'm talking to are trying to put two and two together and get four.
Good name. First we heard that. Southside, Pat, you're on WSCR, The Score.
Hey, quick question. It's Todd Bowles' decision to go to Tampa is just really perplexing to me. Does he know something that we don't know? Why would you pass up the opportunity to coach the number one defense in the league?
Well, I think he does know something that we could know if we were paying attention, but I think it's twofold. Dan and Connor touched on it earlier this morning. He gave Bruce Arians his word. And Todd Bowles, if you've ever met him, he's that kind of guy. I mean, his word is his bond. They've been talking about this for weeks. Contrary to what you've heard, Arians has been desperately lobbying for any head coaching job. It wasn't as if he handpicked the Cleveland and the Tampa job. That's what he wants everybody to believe. And Todd Bowles knew he was going to get fired. So apparently there was a conversation, and he told Arians, yeah, you can count on me. It's interesting if you play this out. The consensus opinion around the league was that Vic might not get a head job. And so while he was plan A for the Bears, I think a lot of people were a little surprised that Vic took and got the Denver job, because it also is not a great situation. But having given Bruce Arians his word, the other thing you have to realize, Bruce Arians 12 months ago resigned from the Arizona Cardinals for family and health reasons. He is 66 years old. What could he possibly have done to fix that in the last 12 months? This is just a guy who's got the itch again. But if you look at his history, there's a good chance that given a year or two, he could be resigning again. And it may be that in addition to giving him his word, that Todd Bowles is thinking, hey, we go down there, I do a good job. This job could be open in a year or two. That's not going to happen in Chicago. He may think that this is his fastest track back to his next head coaching job.
Lastly, Emmett is in Nashville and on the Score with Hub.
Hey, Hub. Glad to finally talk to you and stuff. Hey, how about the Bears defensive line coach, I think it's Jerry Rogers.
Jay Rogers.
Okay, yeah. He's worked well with Leonard Floyd, you know, because I almost wrote Floyd off. You know what I'm saying? So is he responsible for his development, you know, along with Goldman and, you know, that defensive line as a whole?
Yeah, you're half right. Jay Rogers actually hasn't really done much with Leonard Floyd, but that's the linebacker coach, both inside and outside linebacker coaches, and Vic Fangio working with Leonard. But Jay Rogers, Akeem Hicks became a Pro Bowler after getting here to Chicago. Maybe that would have happened on his own, but he has done a fantastic job, not only with Eddie Goldman, but Roy Robertson, Harris, Bilal Nichols made huge strides this year. So he's done a really good job. He's got 9 years of NFL coaching experience. He did a nice job working in Denver. And his name has been brought up to me by a number of people I've talked to around the league. It's not just the Bears who may have their eye on him. He is not as obvious an in-house candidate as at Donatel. But if they're staying in-house, he's definitely the second choice. Yes, it has been mentioned and discussed. I have kind of a weird minor concern about it. I don't know Jay Rogers well. His brother is Jeff Rogers, the former Bears special teams coach, who now, I forget where he's at now. He's got another special teams group. I was not a big fan of his brother's, either the work he did or the personality he brought to the job. I don't know if Jay is a similar type guy to Jeff. I've heard that he's not. To me, it would be a little bit of a negative because I just didn't see his brother as a great communicator. I can tell you that Jay Rogers is very highly thought of by people in the Bears organization and by other teams as well. So that's a good call. Donatel is the first in-house choice. Rogers might be a surprise choice, but he'd be the second in-house choice.
Hub, thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. I promise back to normal next week. I got a Special Olympics thing at noon. I appreciate you working with me.
Understand no entirely. That is Hub Arkish. And now it's time for your second chance to win $1,000 in cash on the Score. This hour's keyword is umbrella. Or if you're from the South, it's umbrella. So text umbrella to 72881 by the end of the hour. Again, the keyword is umbrella to 72881. One randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Please don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply.
So it is official. Vic Fangio is the head coach of the Denver Broncos. They've made the announcement. And as Hub was talking with callers for a while now, it leaves speculation open as to who the defensive coordinator for the number one defense in the league will be. We'll continue to speculate and run through some of the names that have been thrown around here in the coaching carousel.
Yeah, and there's a name that's been talked about that I was just speaking with somebody during the last break who thinks it is unlikely that this good fit actually for the Bears will occur.
We'll head that way next. It's Bernsie McKnight, 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.